Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Is there like a contest between who gets the D and who gets the fence, or is it just basically like what you're where you're seated at the in the row? The D has to be on the left as you read it.
It's Mike Shope.
Hey, I'm the D today. You're the fence. Is the fence guy like the more powerful person in the relationship, or the D guy?
And the Bulldog.
I don't know. If you get separated, you still got a D. Just hold up a D. If you're walking around with the fence, like, what are you doing? You will need it. You'd have to go to Tinder for a D.
You just gotta right.
People do that, I believe.
Wow.
I think people do that.
This show is free.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Yep. Still is. No charge. Good thing today. I mean, you know, you'd have to get half off today because it's just me. Mike's not here today. I am the Bulldog. Thanks for tuning in. Sneaky Joe hanging as well. Sneaky Joe doesn't remember the 1999 Stanley Cup Finals. Sneaky Joe is four.
No, I have been told, though, I stayed up for most, if not all of it,
yeah,
though.
Right.
So I was awake.
Only because your dad was watching and he didn't want to bother trying to put you to make you go to bed.
I think my parents maybe went out for the game and I maybe watched it with my grandparents.
Okay.
So
yeah,
I think that's what I was doing.
Well, you go out for that game. I mean, then you're out.
Oh, yeah. Right? You're out for the night.
If you were not inclined to, you know, that's how it went where I was. Oh, I'll for those who don't know, I got married 20 years ago today. Today is my 20th wedding anniversary. My beautiful wife, Kirsten, and our sons, Owen and Leo, we're going to go out for a nice dinner tonight after the show to celebrate that. Because we're that many years old where we go out with the kids on our anniversary. At least we have a couple times in the past. Other years we've gone alone, whatever. But, you know, my story, I told it at the outset of the show, and I'll try to weave it in here as we go. But I feel like half of the show is gone, and we just started taking calls just because of the way it laid out here guest-wise. We had a very good draft guest, NHL draft guest, on in the 4 o'clock hour, and I touched base with Kevin Sylvester. We had to squeeze Paul in early. So we're just kind of getting rolling with folks reminiscing, and so I want to get out of the way. But just our walking off point for my end of this conversation is I did not know about any of the controversy surrounding the outcome of Game 6 of the Stanley Cup Finals until Sunday, Monday, 4 days later. I had no idea. I got in a car, driven to an airport, got on a plane, and went on my honeymoon. And I knew they lost. I felt bad, but I wasn't watching it because I was hosting a wedding reception and just was not plugged into what had happened. And it was incredible when I found out and the way I found out. And I'll probably get to that and some other anecdotes from the evening and morning as we go here. But I want to make some room for you folks. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. You can check out a lengthy, more in-depth account from me about remembering this night at WGR550.com. I wrote about just, you know, what I could remember, what I can sort of piece together from being told by friends over the years of some things that happened and what my firsthand accounts were as well. So if you want to do that, feel free to do that. I'm getting a lot of responses to that on Twitter today at BulldogWGR. But let's get to the phones here. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. We've got a good solid hour, so there's a couple lines open. If you want to hop in now, we surely will get through your call. Jonathan is first up this segment. Jonathan, thank you for calling. You're on WGR.
Hey, Bulldog. Thanks for having this show. My I was just kind of like just like you. I did not watch it. I was 11 years old at the time, so I wasn't old enough to stay up. And unlike a lot of parents in Buffalo, my parents do not care at all about sports.
Okay.
But mostly it was just reading about in the newspaper. I saw the highlights on the morning news show,
mm-hmm.
and basically when I found, but I do remember Lindy Ruff's press call. I remember the hearing about no goal, and I just remember getting very upset.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Almost put a temper tantrum that got absolutely screwed.
Right. How? So your parents weren't into it. So is that part of the reason? At 11, like you were, it's tough to stay up that late. But rules are rules. Do you think if they had been into sports, you might have been allowed to stay up to watch it?
I don't remember if I had school. I mean, if I had school the next day, they probably would have.
Yeah.
But there was school. I probably, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I appreciate the call. Yeah. It was a Saturday night, so you wouldn't have had to worry about that. School might have been over anyway. Although that time of the year, you might have like a few straggling days in the 21st, 22nd, whatever of June. But nonetheless, appreciate the call, Jonathan. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Phil is next up. Hi, Phil. You are on WGR. Thanks for calling.
Hey, Bulldog. 20 years, man. I cannot believe it's been 20 years since that night. You know, so the night started out, and we were watching it together. A bunch of us got together. We rented a big screen TV for the playoffs, and we had it at a buddy's house. And on that night of Game 6, started, you know, watching it at my buddy's house, but I had to go to work probably around, I think, the first overtime. I had to go to work. And where I worked was, I was working security at the HSBC Tower.
Okay.
So I had to drive downtown, go to work at the tower. What my plan was that I'd be able to watch the game because they were showing it over across the street at the ballpark on the Jumbotron.
Okay, right.
From the HSBC Center courtyard, I could stand and watch across the street.
Awesome.
And
yeah.
Watch everything happen on the Jumbotron. So, watched the second overtime, went and did a couple of things during intermission, came back third overtime, watching it, and, you know, the inevitable happened, Brett Hull, quote-unquote, scores. And, it looked like it was over. I bolted. I had to run around. So what we did is we started at the top of the tower, come all the way down. It took me about an hour to do my security round. And then when I get to the base, we're listening to the radio, and I could not believe my ears that we're talking about this may have been no goal. And so I had no idea what was going on for a good hour after everything went down. So, yeah, radios were thrown, and it was that day. We didn't have phones or anything. We didn't have TV, so we were catching up on the radio. And I think it was Brad Ryder,
yep,
who was doing the post game, and listening to this, and we're standing there in disbelief. But man, it was what a night, I'll tell you.
All right, Phil, I appreciate that, man. Thanks a lot. Yeah, it's I'm sure now that I talked to Kevin Sylvester earlier, and he filled in. Well, I was on my honeymoon doing the show, like Monday through however long I was gone, whatever. It was like 10 days I was gone. And but the night of the game, he was working as a reporter, and Brad would have been on the air. Brad, we've been friends. Like, he started working with me on that nighttime show in, like, I don't know what year it was now, 97 maybe? By 98, I know we're together, because I remember him standing up on the bar at the old Pink during the conference finals against Washington in 98 and yelling, "They can't win if they can't score." So we were definitely working together for that playoff run. By 99, he's filling in. I don't know who would have been producing the show that night, but Brad is the voice I have in my head that I faintly remember hearing on the radio in the limo on the ride to Toronto. But I just did not get at all, either through a delay that was real in the controversy arising, or just through the fog of, hey, hey, groom, come have a shot. Like, I did not know that there was any thing. But I got out of that limo. The radio signal faded long before we got to Toronto. And, like, maybe if that had been GR, I would have had a better shot. I think at that time, and maybe even still today, the GR signal booms further than the BEN does up that way. I could be wrong about that. I just remember being really ticked off, wanted to hear my friends do this show about this game that I could barely watch, and the radio just wasn't coming in clearly enough, and eventually I just told the guy, like, just whatever, put on whatever you want. I can't, this is stupid. I'm listening to static, I'm getting every other word. So I had no idea, but it was Brad that was hosting that show. He'll be on with me coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Rick is next up. Hi, Rick. Thanks for calling. You're on WGR, man.
Thanks, Bulldog. Yeah, the big thing that I remember about this game is we were hosting a birthday party for my daughter who turned 2, and we had a lot of parents over, and, you know, there were adult beverages, and we were got into watching the game, and, you know, we went into the first overtime, and nobody left. We just buckled in and stayed for the duration, and then it was overtime 2, and we were outside, and I was just waiting for my neighbors to complain. Holy cow, you know, the game's over, and I just got up and I turned the TV set off. I go, I am not going to watch that cup go up in that arena with another team.
Yeah.
So at that point, everybody left. And, you know, I went to bed. I had no idea what time it was. And the next morning, my brother called me up and told me about this big controversy. And I was just like, you know what? Turning that TV off was the best thing I did.
Right. Because, I mean, what does the controversy ultimately get you? It gets you just more pissed, right? I mean, there's no recourse. They're not going to replay the game, right? I mean, you're just going to be mad all over again that you lost, and you lost, and it isn't even really a just way to lose.
Yeah, and in retrospect, it was just like at that hour, they just wanted to wheel that cup out and get out of there.
Yeah, no, right. It's really, thank you for the call. The for replays place in sports, it's like a worst case scenario. You know, what is going to happen when, you know, when this happens? I mean, it could realistically happen that you get to that moment. I mean, it didn't happen this year, at least in the cup being awarded, but you could get to game 7, you could get to overtime, and you could get the doors fly open, but, whoa, offsides review, whoa, goaltender interference review. Like, at that point, if a team still has that challenge, they would challenge it almost if it was the cleanest goal ever. Well, I guess I better use this now. So you're still going to have that part of it. It's one of my favorite things about all this. I mean, I think if you listen, if you have listened for any amount of time, you know, replay is one of my causes. I mean, I despise it. I want to launch it into the sun. I just think it does more harm than good. Get it right makes me insane. And whenever on Twitter something happens in a game, you know, during the regular season, of course, there's a little more attention to it on the playoffs. But if I get on my soapbox about replay, inevitably, if there's 50 or so people responding, someone will eventually chime in with this, and I'm gonna say it to you in the voice that I read the tweet in, all right? Because I'm complaining about replay and how stupid it is and how it should be abolished, and someone will tweet in with, "I bet you wish they had replay back in '99, don't you?" And I just sit there and I look at it and I go, they did. They didn't use it. They had it. That wasn't a goal all year. And then they ignored it. It is the ground floor of my disdain for replay is that I didn't want it. It was stupid. That rule was a joke. But they had it. It's a rule. They took goals off the board all season. Reviewing plays like the one that Brett Hull won the cup with, but in that moment they decided not to do it. So if you are that person and you are hearing the sound of my voice right now, know that you are making my day all the richer when you tweet at me, I bet you wish they had replay in 99, tough guy. Like, yeah. Thanks. Good job. 803-0551, 888-552-550. Steve is next up. Hi, Steve. Thanks for calling. You're on WGR.
How you doing, Bulldog? Happy anniversary. May I be the first person to say that.
Thank you, Steve. I appreciate it.
Anyway, the one word that comes to mind, and I was there, Section 327. My buddy from the Sabres got me, and my buddy from New York who came in for the game, a pair of tickets, $75. It was surreal. Obviously, the whole day, the whole atmosphere. We even went to the Bison game for a few innings. You know, the game obviously was what it was. I think I spilled a full beer when James Patrick banged it off the crossbar in the second overtime. But me, like everybody else, didn't really know what had happened afterwards. But from upstairs, Bulldog, you could see 3 seconds after the goal is in, here come the Zamboni doors opening, and the NHL's worst nightmare was going to happen. And this will happen again in sports. You'll have a Super Bowl or whatever, and they're gonna have not
a champion. Well, right. It happened in the NFL, and it wasn't in the Super Bowl. It was in an opportunity to decide who was going to go to the Super Bowl, and that it happened. And the NFL's reaction to that is to add another layer of rules, another layer of replay, so as to avoid it. And you know, eventually, you know, what are we going to do? You cannot functionally review everything. And the further you go, like the more you bring into it, the less manageable it becomes. To me, it's untenable. But that's where we're going. I mean, it's soccer now, the Women's World Cup. Some controversy in that with video assisted referee. It's just where we live now. But it's so funny that it was there in '99. Chose not to use it. Steve is next up on WGR. Hi, Steve. Thanks for calling. You are on the air, sir.
Yeah, so my story begins game three. I was living in Tampa at the time, but I spent $1,000 both on plane tickets for me and my girlfriend at the time, a great girl. You go to game three, set up, you know, real high in the rafters, and we lost that game 2-1. But the real story begins when I get back from Tampa. She didn't have ESPN, so she had this girlfriend, and the girlfriend, I think, kind of took a liking to me, but she invited me over to watch the game, and I kind of snuck out of my girlfriend's house to watch the game, thinking I was real sly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course, goes into triple overtime, and you know, the game ends real late, and I'm talking on the phone back and forth with my buddies. Well, the phone rings, and I'm thinking, you know, this is right after the goal, and I'm all upset. Well, it turns out it's my girlfriend trying to find me, and she finds me at her friend's house. So, needless to say, that ended. So that game reminds me that I lost both my girlfriend and I lost the Stanley Cup at the same time. And that's my story.
That's a tough break. She didn't appreciate that you were just there watching the game, or did she know that there was more than just the game going on there, Steve?
I'll leave that up to your imagination.
Okay, thanks. I shouldn't have asked. That's on me.
$75 does not seem like a lot for
you. I know you. Thank you. I would have forgotten. I don't know what you're eating in there. You eat a lot of salads. Yeah, is it salad? Salad. Not rice pudding.
No, they're out. I didn't bring any today.
I thought maybe you did a spit take when the guy said $75.
Almost $75. Like I'm reading like
right.
You got to go to the Raptors game. You have to spend like $5,000.
I know.
And I could have gone to the Sabre game for $75.
It's been a long 20 years.
Inflation.
It's been a long 20 years. Don't let anyone try to tell you what a gallon of gas costs. It's a long time ago.
I'll probably hear.
All right.
Someone will tweet me.
803-0551, 888-550-2550. We'll keep picking them up and putting them down here. 20 years ago, your recollections of you know, how your night was, how you remember the controversy. Were you aware of the controversy? Talking about that, Brad Ryder at the top of the hour, he was entwined in my world in this, as well as just broadcasting on the night of this game. He'll join us near the top of the hour. So we got a solid half an hour of just us. So keep them coming here, 803-0550. I'm the Bulldog, Mike Schopp, as the day off. This is
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
WGR.
Lindy Ruff, where none of the players are available until Brian Lewis comes down from the National Hockey League and explains to them this situation on why this goal should count. Stay tuned. I have the faintest clue what's going to happen at this point.
That is Brian Engblom, long time now NHL broadcaster. I mean, that's 20 years ago. He's outside the dressing rooms in what was then Marine Midland Arena, KeyBank Center. Reporting about the chaos that was starting to unfold regarding the controversy about the cup-winning goal scored by Brett Hull. Man, he's still going strong. Engblom, he had a nice NHL career prior to that. I don't know how early that would have been in his broadcasting career, but I don't remember. It's so funny. Like, there's stuff recognizing it's so a long time ago still, but like 06, 07, I have much more of a handle on. 99, and it's not just the 7 or 8 year difference either. It's, you know, the whole thing was, oh my God, I'm getting married. Oh my God, is the series, are they going to make it? They made it. Oh my God. Okay, I'm getting married. Is there going to be a game on the, oh yeah, okay, there's a game on the day. Oh man. Oh wow. All right, well, just got to deal with it, you know. We were on the news. Like, they –
Who was on the news? You were on the news?
My wife and I, we were on the news. There were plenty of people who had – it's June 19th. It's wedding season. So we were not the only people that had – but I was kind of a curiosity because I was a sports radio talk show host who did pre- and post-game shows for the Sabres games. And here they are. They're in the Stanley Cup Final, and I'm out. Like, I was off. I didn't work for Game 5. And so Game 6 is the wedding. So a lot of the stuff, a lot of the details, the broadcasts themselves. I watched Game 5 in Canada. So I didn't watch ESPN. I was watching the CBC. I didn't. That was what we had to watch. What we had to watch makes it sound like I was a pioneer or something. It just, you know, that was the channel. So I don't remember Brian Engblom. Somebody mentioned he said Gary Cohn. I'm assuming he meant Gary Thorne would have been on the play-by-play, right? If that's,
yeah, definitely Gary Thorne.
Yeah, right. I don't remember any of that from that whole series. I probably have a better handle on stuff that happened the year before in 98 than I do 99, just because it's a kind of a whirlwind with the wedding. 803-0551, 888-550-2550. Been spending most of the day today reminiscing about 20 years ago today. You know, I'll get right back to calls here in a sec. Very early in the day here, after I posted my recollections at WGR550.com, which I would, you know, be grateful and humbled if you went and read. Somebody tweeted at me and said, "Do other cities do this? Draw attention to the anniversaries of the losses?" And I don't know. Some people have chimed in with, "Yes, of course they do." I think it's different if you've won something. You know, like I don't think about the day in 1986 that the Red Sox blew the World Series against the Mets because they've won 4 World Series in the last 15 years. Like, I'm all set. So it's not a date that I need to really remember or care that much about. I think the same holds for this sort of thing. So I think once you get a championship, then this all just becomes a distant memory. Plus, the thing today, I mean, it's 20 years. Last year, we did not do an entire show about this date 19 years ago. You know, I mean, it's a curiosity on our show that will come up every year because it's my anniversary. and it coincides with the anniversary of this notorious game in Buffalo sports history. But we don't spend hours on it or write opinion pieces about it. But 20 years, you know, it's a big round number. You know, it just kind of felt like, you know, the thing to do here today. So, you know, that's also working on it, too. Sam is first up this segment. Hi, Sam. Thanks for calling. You are on WGR.
Hey, Bulldog. I was there 20 years ago at the arena that night, and it was pretty sad. Wide right, you know, as much as the Bills should have won that game, that comes down to the Bills not playing well, and as well as they could have been, you know, that's human error. That's on the Bills, but this was really pretty disgusting. And it felt like it was taken away from us, and we kind of knew right away that he was in the crease. And, you know, you didn't know it. You didn't have your phone. but we thought it was because they've been calling that all year. As you pointed out, I feel like Derek Plant had several goals called back that year. And we caught the replay as we were walking out of the arena. And, you know, I just thought, you know, if people knew about this at the time, I don't even know what the scene would have been like. It could have been really ugly. But it was just really sad. And, you know, it's like, honestly, it was like the night that I kind of learned that life isn't fair. it sounds dramatic. But yeah. There's no other way to look at it. And the other thing that was, my brother and I were there together, and we as the overtime kept going, we said Father's Day was the next day. And we said, we're going to get the jersey for our dad for Father's Day, whoever scores, you know, the winning goal for the Sabres tonight. And, again, just such a shame.
Yeah, right. Wow. Thank you. You know, what Sam's call makes me think is just how different this experience would be now with everyone, if they chose to, and I don't know why you wouldn't choose to, would instantaneously almost have a replay on their phone, because someone would tweet it out from the feed, the broadcast feed, and a replay, and before you are even thinking about leaving your seat, you probably see it. And if you've got, you know, what percentage of people would this describe? Like, you're going to see that. You've been in the arena for 6 hours, heightened. Maybe you're fatigued. Maybe you're just so tired that you wouldn't have this reaction. But, I mean, it could be ugly. I mean, you could have a scene on your hands that could get pretty nasty with that amount of people all feeling as though they are being being robbed, basically. Like, this isn't right. And, you know, the way I remember it, and I'll talk with Brad here, Brad Ryder, who was anchoring post-game coverage on WBEN that night, how long the lag was from game over to people are aware that there's a problem with the goal, or people have a problem with the goal, and the league is issuing statements, and they've got this memo and all this stuff. Because I've never had a handle on that. I didn't experience it in real time. I heard the game end. I turned it off. I finished up whatever needed to be finished up at the wedding reception and hopped in a car and could barely hear Brad on the radio because the reception was so lousy, and that was it. So I don't know when that all started gathering momentum, but it would be instantaneous now. And that could be a pretty bad result in the end if you've got a mob of angry people still in the arena and they know something like is unjust. That could be pretty nasty. 803-0551-888-550-2550. Cody is next up. Hi, Cody. Thanks for calling. You're on WGR.
How's it going, Bulldog?
Great, man. Thank you.
The 99 playoffs, I spent pretty much every Saturday at Maryville Speedway. My father, my uncle, we were racing dirt cars and stuff.
Awesome. I've been up there.
And
yeah.
One of the modified drivers had a big stacker trailer, and after the races every night, he pulled out a big screen, the Kojigo box or whatever, and through the Toronto series, the Dallas series. And I remember, you know, I was like 12 years old at the time, And just pretty much by the time the first overtime ended, everybody migrated from their respective trailers and was just surrounding this big stacker trailer with this 50-inch projection TV on it. And it was just, when the goal hit, it was just like a bomb went off or whatever. Just like you could hear a pin drop. And then just the drive home and all that, you know, being a 12-year-old kid kind of sobbing, you know, tired, all that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's, you know, something that just, you know, sticks in my mind. With
yeah, for sure, man.
All that.
You and your family still get out, do any racing in Merrittville or anywhere else around the region?
Nah, we kind of got out of it. I still spend a lot of time up there. You know, I do a lot of go spectate at Ranchville, yeah. Maryville and stuff still, but.
Cool. All right, Cody.
We don't do a lot of racing anymore.
All right, man. Thanks for sharing. I appreciate it very much.
Yeah, man.
You remind me, I try to hit Merrittville and Humberstone is the other one that's a little closer even to me, but they're both pretty close. One more here this segment. John is next up. Hi, John. Thanks for calling. You are on WGR.
Hi, Bulldog. Happy anniversary to you.
Thank you, sir.
My own anniversary was just a couple weeks ago. And we're about the same age, so congratulations.
All right, same to you, man.
Thank you. The fun part about this game, obviously the result wasn't fun, but is people forget sometimes how much of a marathon this game was. And the night that this game was going on, I had to stay up late anyway because I had to pick up my parents at the airport like at 12:30, like after midnight. So I stayed up and I started watching the game before I had to leave the house. I leave Lockport. I drive all the way to the airport, and I think we're in the first overtime by then. I'm not sure of the timeline, but the game's still going on. I get to the airport. The game's still going on. I go inside the airport. This was before all the security stuff was enhanced. So it's me and a security guard and one other guy in this airport. It's deserted, and the security guy turns on the TV in one of the closed bars, and we're watching the game. Then the plane comes in, the game's still going on. I get my parents, we go down and, you know, collect the luggage, and the game's still going on. We get in the car, I drive them out to Amherst, to their house, the game's still going on. I say, okay, good night, see you guys. I drive back to Lockport, the game's still going on. Now it's like after 1 o'clock or something. I'm like, well, I'm committed. I can't go to bed now. So I get inside. I was like, I'm going to have a beer. I'm going to sit on my couch and watch the rest of this game.
Oh, tell me you sat down and opened a beer and hole scored.
That is exactly. I know it was less than 5 seconds after I cracked open that beer and the goal got scored. And I'm like, oh, come on.
Right.
Of course, the controversy happened, you know, and it went on for a while. So I did get to, you know, finish my beer.
right.
But
yeah, you love those moments, don't you? You're like, come on. You mean, are you kidding? I just sat down.
I've been listening to this thing for 2 hours. And you know,
right. Just wanting to get to where, oh, good, it's still going. I can still see some of it. I can still, oh, no, it's over now, and they won. Oh, great.
Yep.
Yeah. Thank you, John. I appreciate that. That's a solid story. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. We'll squeeze in some more after a quick break. Brad Ryder coming up near the top of the hour as well. And, yeah, we'll just keep rolling here. I'm the Bulldog. Mike Schopp has the day off. This is WGR. WGR Celebrity Golf Tournament is fast approaching. It'll be Monday, the 8th of July. Seneca Hickory Stick Golf Course in Lewiston. And we are auctioning off the opportunity for you to play with any number of celebrity guests. Also, the opportunity for you to bid on various on-air personalities from here at WGR. You can also bid on your own foursome to just play with you and your own group. You'd have your own foursome without being burdened by my horrific golf game. That really sells it, doesn't it? But get on it. You got time still to bid on any of those groups. It's a great day of food and drinks, prizes, autographed memorabilia auctions, you know, breakfast, lunch, dinner. I mean, it's a day, man. It's a full day. Again, Monday, July 8th, Hickory Stick, Seneca Hickory Stick Golf Course in Lewiston. Presented by Dr. Beyer Optical Group. For a look that's on fire, call Dr. Beyer. Call 646-EXAM. With support from Encore Golf, Buffalo's only innovative golf ball company, and Michelob Ultra. Joe, who is this?
I believe this is the astronaut.
All right. I just like the sound of the twangy reverbed guitar. I'm not familiar with the jam. So
no, I'm sorry. The song is the astronaut. The band is something corporate.
Okay, yeah, don't know.
Okay.
Good. Cool. News to me. Good, thank you. Like it. 803-0551, 888-552-550. Jerry is first up this segment. Hi, Jerry. Thanks for calling. You're on the air, sir.
Hey, Chris. How you doing?
Great.
You know, it's funny. Back in 99, I used to play golf early every Sunday. And one of the things I remember about getting to the golf course the next morning was I had stayed up and watched some of the post-game, the presentation. And, you know, it was a good solid amount of time before we realized there might be a problem here. And when I got to the golf course, the number of people that realized that there was a problem last night, you know, was amazing. You know, if you saw the goal and you said, "Ah, forget it, now I'm going to bed," or you
needed
3 or 4 minutes, you know, the only thing I remember about that was Lindy was back at the bench, trying to get somebody's attention, like a minute afterwards or 2 minutes afterwards during the celebration, and I think that he was kind of ushered away. I'll tell you one thing, you know, about that night. That, you know, I obviously wishing Holzinger would have done a better job on the coverage there.
Sure.
The second thing I kind of wished for here would, how cool would it have been if Twitter would have been around back that night?
Well, that's what I was just saying. Like, I don't know. I think it might have been mayhem, Jerry. Like, if 15,000, say, Sabres fans in their seats have enough people around them that have access to that replay soon enough, I don't know, the scene in the arena might have been very different than it was, whereas people were just despondent. You hung out, maybe you watched the cup because you're there, and, you know, how many times are you going to have a chance to see that, so you're going to watch it, but you're not mad yet, you know, because you really, like you're saying, you don't really know what happened. If you know within seconds or just minutes, I don't know, I think it might be a different scene entirely in there, and that maybe that wouldn't be all good, you know? Like, it might be bad. And I'm not, I don't know, what am I saying? Am I implying that there could be a riot? Yeah, I guess. Like, I guess I am. That people would be that mad. That it could get, you know, get on the wrong side of things pretty quick. I think that's, you know, that's where we live now. Ugh, sorry, I'm just watching again. Jared mentioned Holzinger. Like, Holzinger just comes flying through between Hasek and Hull. Just misses them completely. Just, good job. Just come on. Just come on. Oh, okay. Whatever. All right, let's take a timeout. We'll continue this. I want to, maybe we'll see. I was looking at the roster. A guy emailed me about it, and I'd looked earlier too. I mean, Joe, you're not old enough to remember it all, but I mean, you know the names.
Yeah.
Just look at that team. I mean, the stars weren't exactly, like, it's not Crosby and Malkin, all right? But, you know, it's Modano and Neuwendijk and
is Bobby Holik on that team?
No.
Oh, Hatcher. That's who
Darian Hatcher is on that team, and, like, you know, there's names there that Langenbrunner, Pat Verbeek, right? Like, there's just Lettinen was a Selke winner, Brett Hull, Guy Carboneau. Like, there are legendary names on that team. The Sabres, it's Holzinger, you know. it's weird. I mean, no, you know, Michael Pekka was an excellent player in the league for a long time. He's the captain. I mean, Wayne Primo and Randy Cunningworth and Michael Groshek, and just, like, wow, there's some very not great careers, you know, on the whole, comparatively speaking, with what Dallas was putting on the ice. All right, let's take a timeout. Brad Ryder, live from a little league field near you, coming up right after this on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.